to see you tonight. Take your Bible. We're going to two places. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and Revelation chapter number 2. And we'll look at something here fairly quickly. Still hear a few pages turning. 1 Thessalonians, that's right before 2 Thessalonians. And Revelation is right after the book of Jude and right before the Concordance. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. Notice, you all. Paul was from the south, you understand. He said, you all. Now, if Paul would have been from up north, he said, we give thanks to God always for you guys. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your, notice this, work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Notice verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Look at Revelation. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians. We'll come back there in just a minute. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars of the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And hast borne and have patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd bless the Bible study tonight. God, I pray that you'd be with us. Bless your word. Lord, help it not to return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These two churches, I read a church from Thessalonica. I've read a church from Ephesus in the book of Revelation. These two churches are very, very similar. They're very, very similar, but they are very, very different. They're different in very subtle ways. You have to understand, churches are made up of Christians. Churches are made up of saved people. And so when we talk about the character of these two churches, not only are we talking about the character of churches, but we're talking about character of the people in the church that make up this local church. The church, Holy Hills Baptist Church, takes on the personality, takes on the character of the people sitting in the pew. And so we'll look at a couple of things here. Not only do I want to look at the tale of two churches, but I also want to look at the tale of two Christians. Now, if you are taking notes, you would take a piece of paper. On one side, you'd write Thessalonica. And on the other side, you'd write Ephesus. And one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The other is in Revelation chapter number 2. Outwardly, they look pretty good. Both churches look pretty good outwardly. Notice, they've got work, they've got patience, they've got faith, the work of faith, the labor of love, patience of hope. All of these things are in existence in both of these churches. But when you take a closer look, you'll find, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and have tried them, and so on and so forth. Notice this very similar. Notice verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Revelation 2:2. I know the works, labor, patience. Both of them are very similar. Does anybody see anything different? Notice in Revelation chapter number 2, it says, I know thy works, plural, with an S. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, work of faith, singular. There's a difference.
Yeah.
These churches look very, very similar, but they're very different. Notice work of faith, singular, and Revelation, works, but no faith. Sometimes a church looks like they are really have a lot of works and they've got a lot of works going on. But let me say this, works look better than work. But one work of faith will accomplish more than many works of the flesh.
Right. Amen.
Let me say that again. One work of faith will accomplish a whole lot more than a bunch of works of the flesh. You see, both churches have work. One has works. One has more works than the other. But one church is getting more accomplished than the other because it's work of faith and works with no faith.
Right.
These tell of two churches, you'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, the church in Thessalonica, they had inward elements that motivated their outward actions. They had something on the inside that motivated them to produce those actions. What they did on the outside was based on what was on the inside. In the Revelation church, the Ephesus had the outward, but no inward. They had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one church under my notes right here, I got Thessalonica, and they got a working church. Boy, it's a working church, but it's work of faith. Over here, Ephesus, works. No faith. I'm going to tell you, there's churches all over Dyersburg, Tennessee, and all of them look good. All of them look good. All of them are doing things and what all and this, that, and the other. But what counts is the work of faith and not works with no faith. And works that are done in the flesh. I want you to look at the second one there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Work of faith. Number 2, labor of love. Now, some of you are going, what's the difference in work and labor? All right, ladies, you can help us with this. Ladies, what had you rather be doing? Housework or giving birth to a child? Both is work. One is housework. The other is labor. There is a difference.
Yeah.
So, not only is the church at Thessalonica a working church, but they are a laboring church. And not only, I want you to notice, Revelation, look. Jesus says, I know your works and thy labor. What's left out? A lot of people can labor. A lot of people can do works and they can produce works and they can produce labor and labor and labor and labor. But without love, without charity, it's no good. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we talked about charity in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to because I can't quote it all. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels have not charity, I have become a sounding brass and of tinkling cymbal.
Right.
If you have, you can do all the labor, you can do all the work, but if there is no charity, if there is no love,
right.
You just beating a pot.
Right. Yeah.
It makes no difference. The tale of two churches, one church has the inward relationship that produces outward actions, and one church only has outward actions with no inward fellowship with the Lord. Both of them look the same. But I'm going to tell you this. I had rather be the church at Thessalonica than I had the church at Ephesus.
Amen.
Serve the Lord with gladness. I think 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us."
Right.
Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Why do we preach like? Why do we have Sunday school teachers labor, study for a Sunday school class? Why do we have it? Why do we labor and study Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 2 hours in the Bible Institute on Tuesday? Why do we labor? It's a labor of love. And if it's just labor just to receive a paycheck, or it's labor, how many of you have heard people doing things like we've heard people they do things, they call it, you know, even in the secular world, they say, now this is a labor of love to them. This program they're doing, or this Feed the Hungry Children, or whatever. It is a labor of love for them. What does that mean? It means that there's not a whole lot of physical benefits to it, but they do it because they love and want to do something for whoever they're doing it for.
Yeah.
Ours is a spiritual nature, and my friend, we ought to be laboring, but not just labor just to be laboring, but it must be a labor of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That's why we do what we do. Jesus Christ in Thessalonica was the origin of their activity. In the church of Ephesus, Jesus Christ was the object of their activity. They had labor, no love, no compassion. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Let me show you this. Revelation 2, chapter 2. And I just lost 1 Thessalonians. Oh, there it is. Revelation chapter 2. Look here. Verse 2. And know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, hast found them liars. And hast borne and patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first what? That's my problem with the church at Ephesus. Yes, you've got works. Yes, you've got labor. But there's no love involved. I give the funny illustration before, and we won't give it all tonight, but I've given it, and I love giving it, about the two, the older couple, and when they were dating, boy, that wife was sitting there, looked like both of them was driving a truck. And now they've been married 65 years, and she's plumb over up against the passenger door. She looks over and says, "Homer, I remember the day when we used to sit close together." Homer says, "I'm still sitting at the same place I've always been sitting." And see, when you move from the church of Thessalonica over to the church of Ephesus, it's like on Thessalonica, you're right here. Don't you remember? Listen, don't you remember when you first got saved? Don't you remember reading the Bible and you couldn't put it down? You would never fall asleep going to sleep at night reading the Bible. You just wanted to get all you could get. There was a love there for the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth you. You were sitting right there with it. And then over time, we've gotten over here to the church of Ephesus. We still look good. We're still saved. And we're still laboring. But the one thing that's absent is love.
Right. Yeah.
We still have the works over here. We still are a Christian. We haven't lost our salvation. We're still working. We're still laboring. But we're missing faith and love over here. That's what he says. The tale of two churches. It's all right here. This is what he says. He says, you've left, notice, left your first love. Now, this is what he said. How are you going to fix it? Verse number five, Revelation 2. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and do what?
Repent.
And do the what? Get back to doing what you did when you was a part of the church at Thessalonica. Get back to what you was doing. Listen, wherever you fell out of fellowship with the Lord, whether it was wherever you stopped reading your Bible, whether you stopped praying for your relatives, stop praying for your neighbor, go back to the first works and do what you stopped doing when you got out of fellowship, and then you'll get back to the church at Thessalonica. He said, remember therefore from which thou art fallen, repent, do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place. Except thou do what? Repent. So you got to get do what? Remember, repent, or he's going to remove unless you repent.
Right.
That's all in verse 5. You remember, repent. If you don't repent, he's going to remove if you don't repent.
Right.
Remove what? Remove your candlestick. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Remove the power. You ever been in a church before and it's deader than 4 o'clock in the morning? You walk in and it's cold as ice. You walk in, the Spirit of God ain't moving. They can sing songs about the blood. People just counting the lights, counting the water spots on the ceiling. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away our sins? No power. God says, you repent. There's a warning there. Folks, I'll be honest. I don't want to be kicked to the junkyard. There's a lot of cars out there in the junkyard that used to be used for something. They used to carry people around. They used to go to the grocery store. Them cars are of no use to anybody anymore. They have been removed from the general service and moved to the junkyard and just sitting there.
Right.
That's what a lot of Christians are. They have moved from the church of Thessalonica. They're over here at the church of Ephesus. And Jesus says, if you don't repent, get back to that church of Thessalonica. I'm going to remove your candlestick, throw you out in the junkyard. Because I can't use anybody that's dead. I can't use anybody with no faith. I can't use nobody without any love, no compassion. I can't use you. No good. Paul says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. They labored without love over there in Ephesians. Ephesus, rather. Ephesus looked good on the outside, but there was a cancer brewing on the inside. They looked good. It was a good-looking church. But he says, you better remember, you better repent. If you don't, I'm going to remove. If you don't, repent. My friend. Now, think about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 for a second. I'm coming back. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. If the iron be blunt, that's the church of Ephesus.
Yeah.
And he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says this. You got an axe. You're trying to chop a tree down. You can do it with a sharp axe or you can do it with a dull one. It's a whole lot easier to do it with a sharp one than it is a dull one.
Yeah.
Church of Thessalonica is doing it with a sharp one. The church at Ephesus is trying to get the tree down with a dull one. Who's going to get the tree down first? The one that's got the sharpest axe. The one that has concentrated on their fellowship with the Lord. The one that's tried to get their flesh out of the way. There's no works of the flesh. The one that's tried to stay in fellowship with God and pray and seek His will. That's the one that's going to get the tree down. Yes, Ephesus may get the tree down, and there's a lot of churches that may get the tree down, but it's going to take a whole lot longer, and a whole lot more strength, and a whole lot more effort to get it down, because it ain't sharp. Iron sharpeneth the iron. That's what he said. You take a car, you take two cars, look just like, just get them just looking just alike. Same color, same body style, same year, everything. And you put two different motors in them. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
where the power is. Big difference. You say they look alike. Yeah, both churches look alike. Same color. Yep, same color. Both churches, same color. Same body style. Yep, both churches, same body style. But when they put the gas, and I'm telling you what, listen, folks, let me just stop and pause a minute. When the light turns green, there ain't but one shade of green. Don't wait for another shade of green. Go! That wasn't even, that was extra. It's green. It's been green for 30 seconds. It's not going to get any greener. Put your foot on the gas and go. Get out of the way. We got places to be, things to do. We ain't got time to sit you and watch you fix your hair in the rearview mirror. Two cars, two churches, one's got power, one don't. And they look just alike. I had rather be the church of Thessalonica than I had the other one. Now, let me hurry. And 1 Thessalonians, what else he had here, Thessalonians? He said, work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Look what Revelation had. Know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. Guess what? Church of Ephesus has no
hope.
No hope. You say, preacher, what is hope? Well, the Bible says, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hey, Jesus Christ is coming. That is our hope. We have patience of hope. Patience. You know why we're being patient? You know why we hadn't killed nobody yet? Because we know the Lord's coming.
Right.
We're waiting patiently for the Lord to come. We know He's coming. Church of Ephesus used to believe He was coming, and now they're just sort of sitting around waiting. And they don't even know what they're waiting for. The Church of Ephesus sounds like this. Well, y'all been saying He's been coming forever. He ain't come yet. Been 2,000, over 2,000 years. He ain't come yet. Yeah, we're going to sit around here and wait. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep doing this. But we ain't got no compassion about it. We're going to keep having. We're still going to keep working. We're still going to keep laboring. But are we just trying to go through the motion, get through this thing? I don't know if He's coming or not. We're just doing... That's all we know. We've done this forever. We've done this for a long time. Might as well keep on doing it. I don't believe He's coming. He said He was. I don't believe it. Church of Thessalonica says, we got patience of hope.
Right.
We know He's coming. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't give up. I think some of them walked in the office a while ago and I pulled up a song by Lester Roloff. Now, I'm not going to try to sing it because I don't know it that good. But Lester Roloff sung this. You took the hand of Jesus, stepped out on His promises, yet it seemed you trusted in vain. The answer you prayed for, it's on its way. What you prayed for, hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. The testing of the Lord is pure gold. He'll take you through the fire. He'll burn out the dross and the mire. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. You're watching for His coming. You're wondering why He's waiting. You're watching for His coming. You're wondering why He's waiting. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. The clouds will soon be bursting. The Son of God descending. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on. Pray on. Believe on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. I wished I could sing it. I'm going to learn it. But here, boy, brother, Lester Roloff, rare back and sing it. I'm talking about God got on the thing. He wasn't the best singer in the world, but I had rather heard Him than I had the most professional voice out there that didn't know God. He sung it. You knew He had patience of hope.
Right.
And you know when somebody's a singing and they're singing about the coming and don't believe a word of it. And you know when somebody's singing and boy, you know when they know what they're singing about.
Yeah.
Patience of hope. I'd rather have the patience of hope than I had the other. Serve the Lord with gladness. What about your inward motives? What about your inward motives? Why do you do what you do? Why are you here tonight? Well, you preached on it this morning. I was scared not to come. Well, that's the wrong motive. It won't take long. Now listen, I'm whining that it won't take long. It won't take long for Holy Hill Baptist Church to get to the state of Ephesus. We'll still have the labor. We'll still have the work. We'll still have the patience. But there'll be no faith, no love, no hope. Now, I'm not saying we're there. I'm saying I don't want us to get there. Because every other church is going that same direction. They got the works, they got the labor, and they got the patience, but they don't have any faith, love, or hope. I want to stay with the church of Thessalonica. Now, let me show you one other thing. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I'll show you this. That is just something I looked at this afternoon. Revelation 2, verse 3 and 4. And hast borne and patience, and for my name's sake has labored. For my name's sake. Notice, for my name's sake. The reason the church at Ephesus was working was for the Lord.
Yeah.
They were working for the Lord. And I know what everybody in here is going, man, that sounds pretty good, working for the Lord. That looks pretty good. I mean, that sounds pretty good. But let's compare it to 1 Thessalonians. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, patience of hope. What's the word? In our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? You can work for the Lord. And the work you're doing for the Lord, Jesus Christ may not be in it. A lot of people have said, man, I'm going to go do this for the Lord. You might want to pray about it and see if you can get the Lord in on it. And if the Lord ain't in on it, you might want to not do it for Him. Because if you're doing it for Him and He ain't in it, then you'll find out pretty quickly He ain't in it.
Right.
I'm just showing you, Ephesians says we're doing this for the Lord. There's a lot of people that do stuff for the Lord. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to share my... Don't criticize me. Don't criticize me. Listen to the whole thing. I've heard people, they say, I'm going to such and such. I want y'all to hear my burden. I got a burden for the so-and-so people in Zimbabwe. And I'm going over there to do it for the Lord. The Lord's got to bless it if I'm doing it for Him. No, He don't. You can have a burden without a calling. And you can have a calling without a burden. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You can have a burden without a calling like the Apostle Paul. And you can have a calling without a burden like Jonah. It's good to have both. A burden and a calling. One without the other, something's going to go wrong somewhere. Either you're going to be arrested, or you got a whale coming your way. Paul had a burden for the people at Jerusalem. And God says, I don't want you going to Jerusalem. I want you going to the Gentiles. Let Peter handle the Jews. It's what I've called him to do. I want you to handle Jews. No, I have a burden and a love for the people of Jerusalem. All right, Paul, take your burden and go to Jerusalem. And when you get there, I'm going to arrest you. And I ain't going to be in it. This is, you're going to be in the permissive will, not the direct will. There is a difference, all my Calvinist friends. You don't believe me? Okay. Turn to Acts chapter 20. 1. Acts 21. Acts 21, real quick. I know it's a little warm in here. Hang on. Acts 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." "Agabus, a preacher," said Paul, "you don't need to go. Holy Ghost told me you don't need to go. I got a burden for this." "Paul, I don't care about your burden. The Lord ain't in this." Paul said, verse 12, "And when he had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? That's my burden for them people. For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem.'" "For the name of Jesus Christ." We look at that and go, "Well, look at Paul. He's doing it for the Lord." Guess what? The Lord ain't in it.
Right.
You can do something for the Lord and the Lord may not be in it.
That's right.
Well, take your Bible and look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings, real quick. I'm trying to quit. That counts for something, don't it? 1 Kings chapter 8. I just want to show you right quick. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 17. 1 Kings 8:17. "And it was in the heart of David my father." Now we got Solomon here. Solomon's right. He says, "It was in the heart of David my father to build a house." "For the name of the Lord God of Israel." Ain't that sound good? Man, he wants to build a house for the Lord. Watch this. "And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house. But thy son that shall come forth out of thy loin, he shall build the house unto my name." Solomon, I don't care if you want to do it for the Lord. You better find out if I'm in it first.
Right.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth. "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye people sitting in that pew my work?" What does it say? The church at Corinth. "You people, it was God's will for me to come and start this church at Corinth. You people that got saved in my ministry. It's because of the work in the Lord."
Amen.
One more. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn the page a couple places. 15. First Corinthians 15, 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding."
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you're what?
Labor.
Now, the church at Thessalonica had labor, and the church at Ephesus had labor. The church at Ephesus had labor for the Lord. The church at Thessalonica had labor for the Lord in. But you know that your labor is not in vain. What?
In the Lord.
The tale of two churches. What that means, basically, the church carries on the character of the people that's sitting in the seats, sitting in the pews, the preacher that stands behind the pulpit. It carries on the character. Your character in this room, my character in this room, is either the character of the church of Thessalonica or the character of the church at Ephesus. The tale of two churches, the tale of two Christians. You fit in one of the two. Either you have the right motive, you have the right intentions, you have the right labor in the Lord, or you're laboring for the Lord and you don't know if the Lord's in it or not.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to do this, for, maybe the... A lot of people blame stuff on the Lord and the Lord didn't get them in that. And I hope we make it to Scotland in the Lord. Hallelujah. Tale of two churches. A tale of two Christians. Heavenly Father.